response to the preaching, let us sing from Psalter number 274, the stanzas 1 and 4. 274, 1 and 4. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, a little while ago, student Mark Wagoner presented the congregation with an excellent exposition of infant baptism by way of the Heidelberg Catechism 27. And it is because of that exposition that he gave, I thought that I would go in a somewhat different direction at this baptism service. And it is also because we have at least one new set of parents here this afternoon, I thought it might be good if we would then consider what it means to be parents. And no doubt we all, including myself, even though I'm a grandfather already, but I think we can all learn from what God's Word tells us in respect to being parents. And so I want to present to you then a word of God to parents. In the first place, it is a blessing to be parents. Secondly, it takes talents to be parents. And then thirdly, there is grace available for parents. Now, congregation, as it is indicated already, it is a blessing to be parents. This is why we have read, for instance, from Psalm 127, verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Children, you see, are the visual proof that the Lord wants to continue His covenant promises to us from one generation to another generation. And this is the reason, of course, why the Lord God has given us children. Children are a reward, you see, and they are a gift of the Lord to us. And we need to remember this as parents, particularly as Christian parents. Now, the world does say something else about that. This is not quite how the world thinks about children. One of the dilemmas which the world faces today is the cry of unwanted, unloved, and even of abused children. The world doesn't know actually what to do with all of those children and how to cope with these children. And one easy but terrible, horrible answer is abortion. That's not the way we may go whatsoever. But now consider what the Bible teaches, that children are a heritage of the Lord. And they are a reward. They are a gift of God. Well, even church people at times are beginning to have trouble with these words from Scripture. Sure, we may ask a childless couple in church what they think about children, and you'll get to hear from them undoubtedly. Yes, children would be a great blessing for us. But the Lord has sadly withheld them from us. Sure, ask a young married couple whose arms are just aching to rock one of their little ones in their arms. And you will hear with a touch of longing in their voices, yes, yes, children would indeed be a blessing to us as well. But ask the average church couple, who have received proof that they will not be childless, if they can still convincingly sing with the words of Psalm 127, "Lo, children are a great reward, a gift from God in very truth. With arrows is his quiver stored, who joys in children of his youth." Can we still sing it so exuberantly as no doubt the poet of Psalm 27 did? The world, I'm afraid, is very often sown a few sour notes in that particular tune, even for church people. Also in Christian circles, there seems to be a growing number of couples who prefer to go childless, at least for a little while, so that their careers won't get messed up and so that the house can be paid off or the new car can be paid off. Children, oh yes, yes, they are a blessing, but thank you, we'll receive them when we are ready. When you think that way, have you ever thought that the Lord might not be willing to wait that long to bless you because you were not ready at the time He wanted to give you children? You were unwilling at the beginning? Now I leave this therefore for your serious and for your prayerful considerations. Each couple must act responsibly in receiving and also in waiting. But let that always and ever be done prayerfully. And never, and I stress, never put off having children for selfish reasons, dear people. Because you are then giving way to the influence of this present world of ours today, which denies that children are a heritage of the Lord, which denies that they are a gift and a reward of the Lord. We must never lose sight of the fact that children are a heritage. They are a blessing, dear people, and a gift of God, even if we cannot have any more. We must never lose sight that it is a blessing, therefore, to be parents. And I may also say to be grandparents. My second point is that it takes talent to be parents. And this brings us just a little bit closer to our text that we have read, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, where it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go." And I want to emphasize that it takes talent to train up children, and plenty of talent at that. Young people, you who someday hope to be parents, listen carefully. It takes talents to be parents and to be good parents. And remember this. This is why, boys and girls, young people, it is necessary for you to do well in school. To do well in school. That you get yourself a broad education, a Christian education. We are so thankful that we have the Christian school in our area where most, if not all, of our children go to. We are thankful for that. And then it is not only for the young man, but I dare say it is even more important for the young woman that they have that sort of an education. Even if you have no inclination for a career in the outside world, but plan to be married and hope someday to raise children, you need a good, very good Christian education, as it is being supplied at Heritage even in this time. Becoming a parent, and then especially becoming a mother, requires a multitude of talents which is cultivated through a good education and through the studies of God's holy, precious word. Well, let me now first say something then to mothers in particular. Being a mother is as much a career, if not more of a career, than a career in the out there in the world somewhere. It is certainly more demanding and certainly more talent-requiring career to be a mother. Someone once said then that a mother has to be a doctor, a nurse, a psychologist, a teacher, a minister, a cook, a policeman, and a fashion coordinator, sometimes all at the same time. Now that takes talent, doesn't it? That takes talent. And mothers, let no one ever tell you that this is not a career. You know it is a full-time career, often no less than 23 hours a day. A mother's talents, they are employed already at a very early age, even, and get this, even before a child is born. Such a mother, she knows that she must take good care of her health because she knows that it will affect her child in the womb. She must also take good care of her spiritual life, because she knows that her disposition, her character, her moods, and her habits will actually affect her child which she is carrying for the good or for the bad. A mother's love and devotion to the Lord and her prayer life is crucial for the child in her womb. She is a priestess, as it were, to the little bundle of life that she is carrying at that moment, always commending it to the care of the Lord, that her child may develop well, that it may from early moments on already fear and love the Lord. And that's possible. That's possible. Mothers, you see, they are the closest between the unborn child and the Lord. Mothers, expecting mothers, and you who hope to be expecting mothers someday, what opportunities you have to do well to your child. What talents you may already employ even before your child is born. What talents? Take Hannah, for instance, from the Old Testament as your example. She was mighty in prayer even before her child Samuel was born. Take Elizabeth from the New Testament as your example. How she communicated about her child to Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. God-fearing mothering began long before the child was born. It requires, therefore, God-given talents to be parents. And so our text tells us, train up a child in the way he should go. And these words, train up, can also be translated this way, catechize. That is also how you could translate. Catechize them, meaning to ask questions and draw out answers. It means instruction by word, but also instructions by example. Literally, it means teaching by repeating after me. That is what this sentence means. Train up a child. Now, parents, obviously this requires all of your God-given talents, doesn't it? To train up a child with this one goal in mind, that your child would come to know and to love the Lord God and to serve the Lord God as well. Now, there's something else that we need to say yet about to train up a child. The Jews in the Old Testament times used this word also to mean to dedicate. And this is what Solomon did in respect to the beautiful temple that he built. He dedicated it to the Lord. He trained it up for the Lord. And this is also a work that parents need to do. It is a dedicating work, training children. Your goal should therefore be that your children should come to fear and to serve the Lord because you want to dedicate them to the Lord. This is why what Hannah could do with her young child Samuel, she dedicated him to the Lord. And one day she actually returned him to the Lord and to his service so that he could be active in the Lord's service. Now, parents, is this already how you have understood your role as a process of dedicating your children, your child, to the Lord? From an early age on, yes, even before birth, prayer for your child, and then gradually also praying with your child as well. And speaking with your child about what it means to communicate and to converse with the Lord God. That's all part of instructing, training up, you see, dedicating children. And then I must say too, from observation and from what I have seen clearly, mothers have by nature such a wonderful talent for that. When the child is still very young, to speak of the things of the Lord in a simple, very simple, tender, and loving way. And that is the most, and that at the most impressionable time of the children's lives. And mothers, may I say to you, all of you, do not let those precious moments escape from you. They will fly past so fast enough. And those impressionable moments will never return to your child. Later on in life, you wish that those impressionable moments could just return again for a little while so you could practice your talents in that time. And then, of course, the fathers as well. You too come into the picture as your child begins to grow. You could say then in a certain sense that you become a helpmeet to your wife in dedicating your child to the Lord God. And so, fathers, I ask you, do you speak to your children? Do you communicate with them from an early age on, right into teenage years and beyond? Do you communicate with your children, your young people, about the things of life, but also about the things that belong to serving the Lord our God? And fathers, as parents, always, always speak positively about these things. Do not let your children ever, ever hear your criticism of the Lord's ways or of the Lord's service or of the Lord's servants. Never. I say this because children, they have a natural habit to close their minds when you are lecturing them about this or that. But they will have their ears and they will have their minds wide open when they hear you criticize the Lord and His service and His servants. And before long, you will discover that they will go one step further than you do in criticism. You see, many children, young people, have left the church because parents, and especially fathers, have not often enough spoken positively about the Lord and His service. And I know that it is a hard word to say, and it is a painful reality, dear people. But many young people have turned away from church because they have been trained up by a father who is very quick to criticize what happens in a church. Such young people will know nothing else but that church business cannot be trusted and that many church people are hypocrites. Fathers, may I urge you, may I plead with you, for the sake of not losing your children to the world, to speak to your children about the Lord and His service in a positive way, in an attractive way, in a way that is appealing to them. And then start at an early age, because if you start too late, you will regret it. You will regret it. The mother, your wife, she will show you how to speak simply to your children. She will show you. But always speak positively, never critically, about the things of the Lord and His service. And I trust that is received well. Train up your children to respect and honor the Lord and His service. And again, I repeat, that takes talents. Because sometimes you have good reasons to be critical of what happens in the church, though you keep it to yourself. But such a criticism is not training up material for your children. Remember this as well. Children generally learn more from seeing than from hearing. Children by nature, they learn more by the eye than by the ear. Children by nature, you see, will more easily imitate what you do than obey what you say. Parents, this again will take great talents on your part. It will take God-given talents to speak for God and to live for God as examples to your children, as examples. I urge you, therefore, be good examples to your children. Show them then what it means to love and to serve the Lord without any complaints, without any sort of criticism. Conduct yourselves uprightly, honestly, forgivingly, patiently. Do that, trusting that the Lord will work through such examples that your children will also want to go that way. Because children, they will watch you. They will watch you far more than you think. Therefore, train up your children then, not only by word, but especially by example. Well, now you might ask, well, what about discipline? Well, I can't say much about that because each child is different, which takes parental wisdom to see that difference as well, what kind of discipline your particular child needs. Some only need a stern look, and that will melt them into submission. Others, well, others will kick the hand which spanks them and harden under such discipline. It takes wisdom, therefore, to see what the child needs. But parents agree with each other, husband and wife, how you are to discipline your child. No matter what kind of discipline you use, it will fail miserably if father or mother cannot agree with the discipline that is being used. Be therefore together also in the manner of discipline. Then also be consistent. Be consistent. Do not threaten and then not carry out your threats, if you want to call them threats even. When it comes time to discipline, never, never do so in anger, because you'll only hurt your child and you'll hurt yourself as well. Discipline is true, is necessary at times. And when it is necessary, tell your child that you are doing it in love and not in anger. And again, that takes wisdom, doesn't it? Let the Lord, therefore, be the example in all of this. He chastises, doesn't he? But he doesn't chastise according to our sins. Because the Lord is gracious. He is merciful. He is slow to anger. He is plentiful in mercy. So we sing in Psalter number 103, or Psalm 103. And therefore, parents, show your children great willingness to forgive. One of the greatest things that a young person may hear from mom or dad, say, son, daughter, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Have you ever done that? It's important so that the children know, the young people know, that sometimes you can make a mistake and that you can then also acknowledge it and ask for forgiveness. It is good to do so. In that way, you see, your actions will be like a sermon that the Lord Himself gives to your children. A sermon of the Lord who forgives the guilty. And that will be profitable for all your children and for you as well. Now, there's something else yet, which I must say from our second text, or from this text that we have here, train up a child in the way he should go. We know which way the child should go, don't we? Towards the Lord, of course. And dedicated to the Lord, yes. But that does not mean, dear people, that every child must become like Hannah's child, a prophet of the Lord. Not every child needs to become a minister of the gospel or an office bearer or a missionary or a mission worker. No. That is not necessary, although it is great if that does happen. Therefore, do not try to put your child into a mold that you would like, but in which your child does not fit. You see, it will take spiritual wisdom to discover the suitability of your child for his or her life. And this is also why our text says, train up a child in the way he should go. That is, in the way God has made your child capable to go. And that means that if your daughter has the great desire and also the suitability to become a nurse or a teacher, for instance, then be thankful for that. And don't force her into another mold and say, no, I would like you to become this or that. But now, as we think about the wisdom which is needed to be good parents, to be God-fearing parents, it is not surprising when the thought rises up in us, am I even a suitable parent? What kind of parents have we been? What have I done with my children as well? And I speak of that personally too, dear people. Some of us thought that we did our very best. And yet, our child, and some of us will be able to say that as well, our child has turned away from the Lord and has turned away from church. What answer can I give you, dear parents, who have lost one or more of your children to the world? Now, we cannot turn back the pages of time. Some of our children are perhaps even beyond the reach of our word. But they are not beyond the reach of the Lord our God, dear people. You see, the Lord God is waiting to hear this from you. To hear this from you. Let me therefore speak to you in the third place. There is grace available for parents. There is grace available for hurt and for grieving parents, for fearful and for overwhelmed parents. The Lord does not leave us to fend for ourselves in how we should train up our children. You see, children are a heritage of the Lord. They are His gifts. And for no other reason than to magnify, to make great His covenantal promises. And therefore, the Lord also leaves us with great covenant promises, even great covenant promises. And our text, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, is a good example of it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the Lord's covenant promise. Parents, this is a covenant promise which the Lord wants you and me to be busy with for the rest of our life. The Lord, even more than you and me, want to see these promises continue in the life of our children. There is grace available, therefore, to parents, and it is available particularly through the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross. The Lord wants us to ask for grace. He is waiting to be called upon in the name of His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a saving Lord Jesus Christ, you see, who knows what parents need and what parents require. His salvation, you see, is of such great salvation that even faltering parents can find their hope, can find their trust, can find their consolation, can find their comfort in Him and in Him alone. That is, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And parents, your opportunities might be past for some of us. You see nothing but impossibilities for you at present. But your impossibilities become great opportunities for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the lost. Therefore, let your lives be an open book to your children, even to the ones who have left the church. You might not be able to say many words to them anymore, but show by your life that you still love and serve the Lord. Let all your children therefore read it on you that you love the Lord and that you want to serve Him with words, but more yet with your deeds, with your life. And one more thing. Words or examples may still be used as it is pleasing to a promising God, and it may still be used to bless you and your children. And when your little one grows up, sit down with her and say, "This is what the Lord said to us when you were baptized." Amen.